trusted in His Word. Seen the years go by, many days without a song. Oh, but I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. No, I don't. Oh, sing it to Him now. Any day without a song, but I don't regret the mile that I've traveled for the. Sing it again. No, I don't. Oh, sing it from your heart. Any day without a song. Oh, but I don't regret the mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Amen. How many of you can say that from your heart this morning? No looking back, Brother Wes. We burn every bridge behind us. We don't want to go back. We can't go back. We're marching onward. Is that right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church on Sunday morning? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church today. What a privilege. Let's say some more. Sing that verse now. Many miles behind me, not many miles to go. I walk the straight and narrow, long has been the road, those slower steps I now take, I'll soon reach my goal. Many miles behind me, not too many miles. just wish it had been a lot more miles I could say I've traveled for him. Praise the Lord. Well, it's an honor to be in the house of God today, isn't it? The Lord is certainly mindful of us. So good to see each and every one of you here. How many of you come to have church this morning? How many of you come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? Thank God for both of them. The spirit and the truth. Thank God for both of them. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes. We're going to look at our prayer requests this morning. First of all, we have a card of thanks from Sister Meredith Maxwell. And I know she's very, very glad to be able to be in the services. And the Lord has certainly brought her a long, long ways from her car accident. But she said, I just wanted to thank all of you for your prayers, your cards, and the flowers that were given during my recent car accident. Most of all, thank you for all your love. It has meant so much to me, especially during this time. By God's grace, I will be back running again and have a full recovery. Thank you again. Lots of love, Sister Meredith Maxwell. Give her a nice hand this morning, if you will. Praise the Lord. We appreciate her. We've all watched her just grow up right here among all of our other young people. Let me just give our young people, Sister Meredith, you kind of spearhead this morning, but let me just give our young people a flower this morning. We've got some great young people of great integrity, great character. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Character is something that can't be bought. Character is something that you earn. And I just want to say, young people, God, Sister Meredith, God bless you way back here in the back. All of our young people mostly sit over here, wherever you're at this morning. God bless you for being young people of integrity and great character. Let's give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I've been, some of you know this, and some of you have just about fell down in your tracks when you heard it. I know that I've been substitute school teaching. And I know that's almost the joke of the century. I know that is. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Bernie Young back there and Sister Betty Roberts has been doing some of that also, and maybe even others here in the assembly that have been doing that. But there's a lot of hurting young people in this world. There's a lot of young people that they don't get a kind word at home. The only really good meals they get is when they go to school. And they go back home to a home that's tore all to pieces. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got good children and you're a parent, thank the Lord every day of your life that you've got good children. Because there's a lot of troubled young people in this world. And if we can make a difference, let's make a difference in their lives. Don't be a stumbling block, but be a learning tool that they can learn from. Brother Burley Williams last night said some very, very magnetic things here. Did he not? Amen. He said some very wonderful things. So we just don't know why I said that, but I won't take it back. Young people, God bless your hearts. We love you this morning. Give them another hand. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says, please pray for Brother Albert Short. He's having a heart catheterization on Monday. So we want to remember that prayer request. Sister Pat Morris sends this in, says, I want to give God the glory and praise for what he's done for me. The doctors found a large mass in her body. They did some tests and found out that she had two large masses. They took a sample and sent it off. Tuesday I went to see the doctor. I still have to have surgery, but the masses were not cancerous. Thanks for all of those who prayed for me, and most of all, thank you, Lord. So we praise the Lord for that. We'll just continue to remember her as we pray that the Lord would just be with her during her surgery. Sister Martha Sacker says, please pray for my elderly aunt that lives alone. She has fallen twice lately and is in a lot of pain. Also, please pray for my sister Becky, who I requested prayer for a few weeks back. She is supposed to be treated for a condition that she has had for 6 months to a year. After being on her medication for a couple of weeks, her liver and spleen are enlarged. So they're asking that we would remember her in prayer as we pray. The Lord would just be with her. Brother Howard Collins wants to thank the Lord and all the brothers in the church who helped him pray about a dire situation. And God has moved and is still moving on that. So we praise the Lord for that this morning. Sister Star McFarland says, please pray for my grandmother, Doris McFarland, who was recently diagnosed with lung cancer. Most of all, please pray that she'll be ready to meet the Lord should she have to leave. So let's remember that prayer request this morning. Here's a prayer request for the family of Sister Debbie Haymans. She lost her husband this past week to cancer. She is a sister in Brother Jason Watkins' assembly. So let's remember her and that family as we pray today. Sister Donna Pistole says, I have a very special unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. So we just commit that to the Lord today. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you like for this group to pray about. How many of you believe God's able? Somebody say God is able. Somebody say my God is bigger. Give him one more hand clap of praise as you stand this morning. Brother Wes, come this morning. Let's take these things to the Lord and just ask him to have his complete divine will in every situation. Love you, buddy. We appreciate this guy, don't we? God bless you, buddy. Love you, buddy.
Let's pray. Father, I witnessed a situation this week where just somebody having the right motivation, the right attitude would have meant so much, but they didn't, and turned out so poorly because of it, and the situation wasn't good. And Lord, I realized you taught me and showed me something in that, that if we approach you with the right motive and the right attitude, Lord, the right thought about you, that it makes so much of a difference. Lord, we come here together this morning as your body on this earth. We love you, Lord. We want you to be happy. We want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to give you exactly what you want. We want our motives to be right. We want to be clean before you, Lord, and forgiven and washed in the blood. And Lord, we want to have the right attitude. We want to look at headship the right way. We want to look at church order the right way. We want to come in here, Lord, examining ourselves and seeing, Lord, if we're right before you. If we even have the right to offer our worship and our praise to you, Lord. We want to get that all right before the man of God even comes out here and stands here as your mouthpiece to speak to us, Lord. We want to have our hearts ready to receive you and receive your word, Lord. We want to grow and be stronger. We want to leave here better than we came, Father. Lord, it's our desire because we're your children and we love you with all of our hearts. Lord, we want to trust you with these requests. We know, Lord, that with the right attitude, with faith, with you behind us, Lord, there is nothing that is impossible. We know Satan's already defeated. Our victory is ensured, Lord. Everything is done and finished, and we're just waiting on your return. And we know that we can have this attitude about these requests. We know that you'll be with us in our times of loss, Lord. We're loved ones. Are separated from us temporarily, Lord, until we all meet together at that time when you come for us in the air. And Lord, we know that these praises are just a testimony. Sister Meredith sitting in the back, Lord, is a testimony of your healing power. And we know you're going to continue to do that, Lord. We know, Lord, that there's broken spirits that walk through that door. And we know that you are the one who can heal them. We have all faith and all trust that you're going to do that, Lord. Lord, we just, while we're here, help us to have the attitude where we can enjoy this journey, Lord, and walk with you in love and faith, Lord. Help us to have the right positive mental attitude when it comes to you, and to not forget that you are faithful and that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You're always here, Lord, when we come to speak to us, to strengthen us, Lord, to heal us, Lord, to deliver us. We trust in that above all things, Lord. We trust in it above our flesh. We trust in it above anything we can see or anything we might hear, Lord, that's contrary to you. And we love you, Lord, with all of our heart. We dedicate this service to you, Lord, and we just thank you for everything that you're doing and everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wes. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come this morning and receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service today, we pray it'll be a blessing to those folks as well. Let me make two or three announcements while they're receiving the morning tithe and offering. The shoe boxes are due back by Wednesday, November the 19th. but any earlier would be helpful. Please put them on the table over in the fellowship hall, so remember that. Brother Andrew Glover will be speaking tonight at Brother Bill Yancey's assembly at 6 p.m., so remember that if you can go. I'm sure Brother Andrew is always a blessing to everybody, so remember that tonight. And then we got, of course, a baby dedication this morning. Let's sing a song. Brother Joel Brown, come here to get a microphone and help me sing this song this morning. Certainly appreciate Brother Joel, don't we? Amen. God bless him. Amen. Let me sing, buddy. God bless you. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Oh, there is power
in the name of Jesus.
Oh, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I want you to sing with everything you got. There's an army.
Oh, there's an army and she's rising up. There's an army rising up,
to break every chain. Oh, I know he'll break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's still power in the name of Jesus.
There's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power. It's all in His name.
Oh, there's power
in the name of Jesus.
I want you to sing about it, church.
It will break
every chain.
It will break every chain.
Yes, He will.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Hallelujah. Oh, I can hear those chains, they're falling.
I can hear those chains,
they're falling.
Hallelujah.
I can hear
those chains, they're falling.
He'll break every chain.
The power of the Lord will. Jesus will break every chain.
There's a bride. She's rising up. Aren't you glad you're part of it?
There's a bride.
Aren't you glad you're part of it?
She's rising up.
There's a bride.
She's rising up.
To break every chain.
The power in her. Break every chain.
There's still power
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's still power in the name.
There is power
in the name of Jesus. Break every chain.
Hallelujah. There is power in the blood of Jesus.
In the blood of Jesus. There is power. It's in the blood of Jesus. There's life-giving power in the name of Jesus.
And it'll break every chain.
It will break.
It'll break every chain.
It'll break all your chains. There's still power. There's power. There's power. There's still power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service this morning. I can't think of a greater thing to do today than to bless the magnificent, majestic, most wonderful name that's ever been uttered by mankind. When Elizabeth heard Mary tell about the name that we're fixing to sing about, little John leaped in her womb. The sweet, holy name of Jesus. Isn't that the greatest name you ever heard tell of in your life? Does he mean more than life to you? Let's sing about it this morning. I bless your name. Oh, why don't you just lift your hands? Let's give him a little praise this morning.
Oh,
he's worthy of all
Lord,
your praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
We're going to give. You honor.
Oh,
we're going to give you every bit of our praise.
You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless. Confusion all in your mind. Reach out to him and defy those chains holding you, and you and they will fall in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
I bless your name. should find. You're in a prison, all in your mind. Reach out. Left standing, Lord, I'm blessed. Your name,
hallelujah. Glory.
If you should find some midnight hour, if you should find when you're all alone and you're all by yourself, you're a prisoner, there's no one to call. Just reach out and pray. And defy the power of the devil.
You'll see a fall.
They will fall in Jesus' name.
Oh, I bless your name.
Hallelujah.
I bless your name. Not the devil.
Oh, give him a good hand clap of praise. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, give him praise, church. Give him praise this morning. He loves you. He loves to hear you praise him. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, let's love him a little bit this morning.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Charlie, you just reach out, buddy. You just reach out. Our brother's been sick, very sick in body. I know he adds a lot to these services. And I don't like to see him not feeling good. I don't like to see none of you not feeling good. But let's, you reach out, Brother Charlie. I believe God's got a touch for you, buddy. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. We've went totally overboard. But I'm not going to apologize for not one bit of it. If Jesus can't come in and interrupt our plans, our plans are all wrong. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the Lord forevermore. I want to learn something even as I get older in life. I want to learn. I want us all to learn that without Him, Brother Terry, we're nothing. We're absolutely nothing. If He don't put His touch on our life, we're just another human being walking down the road. But with the touch of the Master in our life, we can be people of integrity, people of character. We can walk in Satan's Eden with our heads held high. We don't have to be ashamed of nothing. I love the Lord for that. I love the Lord that He can make such a difference. God bless you. I don't know what Brother Donnie's going to do to me. Hopefully He won't hurt me too bad. But I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Brother Brandon Green, I want you to come give us a song. Brother Brandon and it's the Green family, they're going to have their baby dedicated this morning just in a few minutes. Brother Brandon, before that, why don't you, where's Brother Brandon at? He's on his way. We love that guy right there, don't we? His family. Brother Brandon, we love you, buddy. But you didn't always know that. We love you.
rest in peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure.
Your wife come on up. We'll dedicate your baby while you're here. Sister, if you want to come on up and bring the baby. And I want to say, Brother Louie ain't got nothing to apologize for when it comes to the presence of God. As far as I know, that's why we're still coming to church. Here to see each other. I've wore this suit before, and you've probably wore that shirt before. I'm sure I've seen that suit before. So we're not here to see one another. We're here to be in His presence. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we come before You today, Lord, how grateful we are, dear God, in this day of trouble, in this day of the lack of love, in this day, Lord, when women want their rights, so-called, so much more than they want life. We're grateful for mothers and fathers that have a desire to bring children into the earth. And they assume the responsibility of molding and shaping and making those children into something that can be pleasing to You. My brother and sister come before You today, Lord, with their little son, Ezra. Dear God, they bring him to be dedicated to You. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that You would just help them, Lord. May the presence of God help my sister to be the fifth gospel as we're taught she is. Help my brother that he can be able to be the right kind of example and father to his little son. May Your presence and Your blessings be on his little life. Father, may You keep him from the evils and the diseases, the things of the day. We dedicate his little life to You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 7, if you would, today. I want to say we certainly enjoyed Brother Burley being with us last night. He also enjoyed being here. He really enjoyed preaching to you folks. I thank you for that. John, chapter 7, verse 2. I want to speak to you on the stress of not assimilating. The stress of not assimilating. John chapter 7 verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand, His brethren therefore said unto him, speaking about the half-brothers of Jesus. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go unto Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret. He himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Loving family, listen to verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now, thank God this verse did not continue on. For James, we know, was the foster brother of Jesus, and so also was Jude, of which the two New Testament books are named after. But at this stage in the journey, they didn't believe in him. Look in verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. You know, it's amazing, but people are still saying the same thing today. And he is the word. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Isn't this amazing that they would fear the Jews and not fear the Romans? The Romans were the civil authority in the government. But yet they did not, in this case, fear so much the Romans as they did the Jews. There was a great pressure in that day to assimilate. Let's pray together, if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great, wonderful presence, Lord, that we've sensed you among us today. We know, Lord Jesus, that we are blessed people to have a place that you would want to come and be among us. For we know that there are many places that are called churches. You haven't darkened the door in years. But Lord, may we always have a place where your presence can be welcome, Lord. I pray that you'd help us today, Lord, as we look into your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Any of you that have ever been under an element of pressure to assimilate, to believe, to accept, to become a part of something that you could not see, that you could not accept as being right, you know that there can be a great stress that comes with that, a pressure that comes with it. Because in your heart of hearts, in the true conviction of your soul, this person, whether it's a family member, a friend, or a preacher, or many people that are trying to pressure you to do a certain thing, believe a certain way, act a certain way, accept certain things, and you from your heart, you just cannot do it. You just simply cannot do it. And then you're put in the dilemma of what do you do if it becomes a difficult situation. Most of us probably have never been into a situation where that would be accepting truth, denying truth, or losing our lives. But we have no way of knowing exactly what the future holds for us. But many of you, no doubt, have been in that shaped to where that if you accepted truth, stood for truth, there were people that would turn against you. They might run you down. They might say things. They might hurt you on the job, might hurt you in the family, might hurt your reputation. But yet, you know, that thing is not new in this day. It's been around ever since the fall of man in the very beginning. And we know that when the Lord Jesus comes, I find it so amazing how that people today in this age, especially the politically correct age that we're living in, that people want to project the Lord Jesus as being such a smooth
politically correct individual. They want to project the Lord Jesus and therefore all the preachers and the churches that he has accepted as his own as being those who never cause any trouble. I'm not sure exactly what Disney book you're getting that out of, but you sure won't find it out of this Bible right here. Jesus did not come to bring peace on the earth. No. Jesus come to bring peace in the hearts of those that would accept him, not on the earth as a whole. Now, we can see from this instance here in the scripture that him, he's not even really entered into much phase, a deeper phase of his ministry. And yet he's already causing such conflict that some people said he was a good man. Some people said he was a deceiver. Some people said he was a liar. Some said he was a Beelzebub. Some said he was, oh my, just all kinds of different things that they said that he was in that day. And yet, it's amazing that people would think somehow in this day that if the Lord Jesus would reveal himself again, he would be totally different from that. That he would be all acceptable and all loving to everybody. That's a lie. He will not be any such thing. Now, let's look at this again in verse 11. And the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring, which is contention or disputing or arguing or fussing because of him. You mean the Prince of Peace, the great peace giver, is now causing this type of contention? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Now, he's a man of good principle. He's a man of good life. He's a man that, as far as we know, he doesn't kill anybody. He doesn't really do anything that's legally wrong, as far as we know. He's a good man. But others said, a good man? How in the world can you say this man is a good man? And then they just went back and forth and back and forth. But in this particular setting, because it was a holy day, a very special time, neither the opposers nor those who thought he was a good man, none of them was actually expressing their opinion in a very vocal manner, because the stress was really building up. Now, the Jews had already made some laws. The Sanhedrin had already met, and they had passed several different resolutions concerning the Lord Jesus. One of them was that if anybody should openly confess him, he would be excommunicated. So therefore, they're saying very, very carefully what they believe. So it's not just those who speak for him, but even those who are speaking against him, because it had already caused a lot of trouble and difficulty. Oh my, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, notice in the people, then the other people said, some said he's a good man, others said nay, but he deceiveth the people. Now, it's amazing when you see how that the Bible, the New Testament, sets forth this attribute about the Lord Jesus and how many people deny that. You know, this what we're dealing with actually was foretold in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus again says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. The Lord Jesus. The loving, gentle, sweet Lord Jesus. Don't think that I've come to bring. Now notice the way he says this, and you've got to say it very carefully. He says, I've not come to bring peace to the world. Now, not peace to you. Not peace to those that would accept him. But he's not come to bring peace to the world as a whole. That will come in the millennium. But as the world as a whole, he came to bring a sword. He came to cause trouble. Now, why are you folks quiet? Because this really bothers us, don't it? This bothers us. Notice, now these are not my words. These are not the interpretation of his words. These are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Verse 35. I am come to set a man at variance against his father. And the daughter against her mother. Now, for Eastern customs, this is almost unbelievable. For a man to go against his father, for a daughter to go against her mother, totally unlike the Western civilization today, where many of our kids have lost all respect for their parents. But yet, in this mindset, can you imagine how that the apostles and the people sitting there, they were taught to have such respect for their elders. Oh my, you just did not buck against them. Even when you were 40, 50, 60 years old and your father was yet alive, you had to handle every situation with your father in such a precarious type of way. So here the Lord Jesus is giving us the epitome, a part of His vision. And you know it was foretold in the book of Isaiah that it would be this way. Notice also in Luke chapter 2 verse 34. Whenever Simeon takes the Lord Jesus into his arms, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now watch this. Simeon takes the Lord Jesus, let me say it this way, Jesus into his arms, not the Lord Jesus because he wasn't the Lord yet, but he had taken Jesus into his arms and he prophetically begins to say this, and he said, behold, this child is set for the fall. Now the word fall here means misery, suffering, disappointment, and ruin. This child is set for the disappointment, the ruin, and the fall of many in Israel. Why is it that we don't hear the side of Jesus preached very much? Why is it this would go over like a lead balloon on national television? Why is it that most Christians, you know, say, oh my, there's no way I can accept that. Well, this is God's own word. This is what He said. Now, notice that, you know, prophecy isn't always good. Prophecy isn't always something that brings the blessing, but notice how this is a twofold prophecy. This child is set for the fall and the rising again. Now the word again is not actually found in the Greek. It's not actually found in the Greek lexicon or the diglot. It's not actually placed in there correctly. And when you look at it in this way, it gives the illusion that they will fall and they will rise again. I mean, go back to the original text. It's not that way at all. It is, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. So there will be some that will fall because of him and they will never come back. There will be those who are fallen that will rise and will never go back to the world. Oh my. So it denotes in the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth that by His coming, now listen, by His coming, He would actually cause some people to fall from where they were. That they would actually be up here and His coming would make them wind up down here. And there would be others that would be down here, and by His coming, it would raise them up here. Amen. Amen. Is this what the Bible says? So many of the people then, this is prophetically set forth, as Simeon said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. So Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 8 verse 14 that it would be a rock of offense, a rock which would cause many to stumble. But yet didn't the Lord Jesus come to give people light? He did. Did not the Lord Jesus come to illuminate people's lives? He did. Did not He come to lead them into a greater way? He did. But if they do not accept that way, that same Lord Jesus, His advent to the earth will cause them to be lost because they refuse to accept His word. And the church said, amen. Now this is not just so for the Jews. Now we know that many of them stumbled at His advent whenever He was here because He was going to be the foundation stone. Now, if the foundation stone is laid and the building is placed upon the stone, then that's the divine order. But if people are not willing to build upon that foundation stone will turn right back around and crush them to powder. It will absolutely annihilate them. Now, may I go on to say that every message and every day after the advent of the gospel has done exactly the same thing. The message of Paul was sent and it elevated the elect of God and brought them to such a place. But yet there were other people that by the coming of that message, it turned against them and caused them to actually lose what they had. And the message of Malachi 4 is no different. That's right. The message of William Branham was sent to bring the elect of God. But I hate to say it, but it's the truth. There will be many people that will be damned and lost because of rejecting that same message. Oh, I know they don't like this, but it's the truth anyway, so I've got to speak it to you and tell you the truth. Now notice then in St. John 7:13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So they're just all kind of whispering, and those that are for him are together kind of whispering, and those that are against him are whispering, but everybody's really not saying anything out in a public open way because it's a feast time and they're doing it because of the fear of the Jews. Now many suppose that he was the Messiah. Many actually believed and perceived in their heart that he was, but it was so dangerous to say anything about it, so they just kind of kept it to themselves. Now you're going to tell me that did not create great stress on these people? And there was such a difficult time, because if you were in that day were a Jew, and if you realized that it was unlike today where you could bow your head, pray in your hog lot. I mean, you could bow your head in your bathroom. You could pray and talk to God today as it were going through Walmart or wherever. But that was not so in that day in the way of getting atonement for your sin. If you got an atonement for your sin, you must come to the temple. And if they excommunicated you, you were no longer allowed to enter the temple door. So if you come to offer an expiation or an atonement for your sin, and you had your name was written in a book that you had been excommunicated. So if you come in and they, they're Skip. Didn't we excommunicate him? Get out of here, Skip! But I want offers. I want to, you can't come back here anymore. You could not enter the house of God. Your atonement could not be offered. The priest could not pray for you. That would be quite stressful, would it not? Oh my. You know, Jesus always has such friends though that love him at a distance. They are friends of Jesus as long as their oppression is not great. And they are men like Nicodemus and men that, you know, that'll come to him in the night and they'll say, oh, I love the Lord. I love him. I don't have anything really bad to say against him, but I just can't come out and let everybody know, you know, what I really, really stand for. But thank God, God's got those who can. Praise the Lord. I'm one of them. What are you? Now, those who believe in the goodness and the kindness and the things that Jesus done, oh, imagine they were so proud to be identified with him until the stress came. But then when the stress came, it put them into a spot to where they were so precarious in finding, what do I do? What do I say? How do I express what I believe? So they just did it very, very quietly and not in an open manner. Now watch in John 19:13. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought that he might, from Pilate, that he might take the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now notice the element of people in this day, right on up to the crucifixion. Now this is after the crucifixion. And Joseph of Arimathea is still this type of an individual. The stress of assimilating is so great on Joseph. Now remember, he's a great man, and that can certainly set a man back sometimes. He has political clout. He has great clout among the leaders, and if he really comes out openly and says that he believes Jesus, it could cost him a great deal. So he believes Jesus in a secret way. He's a disciple of Jesus at a distance. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. How you doing, Jesus? I love you. Oh my. But secretly for fear of the Jews. St. John 20 verse 19. After Jesus raises from the dead, then the same day at evening began the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now such fear can bring great stress. So they had assimilated into as far as they could without being born again. Of course, every one of them denied the Lord Jesus, and now Jesus is raised from the dead. And because of this fear, it has put such stress on them that they have went and hid for fear of the Romans, for fear of Pontius Pilate, for fear of Caligula, or fear of, you know, no, the fear of the Jews. So the Jews had a great ability, and what they would say, they could affect you in the secular world, they could affect you in the religious world. So if they would begin to bring an accusation against you and bring you before Pilate, they could demand your life. The Jews themselves, by Roman law, did not have the ability to be able to crucify or to kill a prisoner. It had to be done by Rome itself. But they could put enough pressure on you to make you to where that if you did not bow to what they wanted you to be, nobody spoke to you. Now, can you imagine you're excommunicated? Because you go down to the garden. It ain't like Walmart and Kmart today. So you go down into the market, and there's this brother, that man. He's selling maters and taters and then sheep and milk and whatever more. And you walk in there and say, I need some tomatoes. No. Well, we're not allowed to sell any potatoes to you. Because you have been excommunicated by the high priest. And we have a note from the Sanhedrin. None of us can sell you anything. None of us are allowed to speak to you from this day on. You going to tell me that didn't put pressure on you and stress? You see, without having the mark, you couldn't buy or sell. Don't you see where it's going to go to in the last days? So the people were building. Imagine this is St. John 7 to where we pick this setting of the feast. And it's like it's accumulating, getting more and more. Because St. John 6, whenever the Jesus begins to speak the words, and the Pharisees got so angry. And Jesus tells them, of course, St. John 10, that you have your father the devil. And St. John 6, the scripture tells us that when many of the people heard the words of the Lord Jesus, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can do this? There's no way. Who can be able to do this? And Jesus turned to his disciples. You want to go away? And the Bible says, St. John 6:6:6. Many of them turned and walked away and followed him no more. So here we are when we come to St. John 7, after chapter 6, of course, there's a great stir among the people. Because Jesus isn't politically correct. He's not correct according to the rabbinical teachings. He's not correct according to the Pharisees. The Pharisees hate him. The Sadducees hate him. The Herodians hate him. Oh my, everywhere he looks, almost everybody hates him. So he's not politically correct, he's not religiously correct, but he was godly correct. Now let's read, if you would, in St. John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. And you say, I've never understood that scripture, Brother Donnie. How could they have said that? Because part of these teaching of the Pharisees was transmigration of souls. So they believed that there was something that existed of you that you could have fallen with the fallen angels. So they asked Jesus this question. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? How in the world could he have been born blind? And they're asking this question. Did he sin before he became a mortal? Did he sin? Was his soul transmigrated? Did he sin? Well, when the angels fell, is this why he was born blind? It's amazing how that the disciples looked at this man, and not being an object of mercy and being an object of pity, but an object of theological discussion. Isn't it amazing how they looked at him versus the way the Lord Jesus looked at him? Now the Lord Jesus did not look at this man as a subject by which they could all sit down and theologically discuss the transmigration of souls, or was there a transmigration of souls or not, or did man fall whenever the angels fell, or were we part of those angels and go to this great theological discussion. But instead, Jesus looked at this man as one who had a need. Amen. He looked at this man as one that the power of God was going to be made manifest in his life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch, Jesus answered in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Notice the works are plural. That the works of God might be made manifest in him. Now Jesus, of course, for whatever reason, Jesus leaned toward doing certain things on the Sabbath day. Now, you know, he could have done it just as easily on Monday. He could have done it on Sunday. Of course, their Sabbath was Saturday. He could have done it on Friday. Many of these people, no doubt, were regulars in the city. And there were people that he saw over and over again. But it seemed as if, though, Jesus chose on purpose to do certain things just to put a bigger wrinkle in their nose. Now watch in verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. He's now broken the Sabbath. And anointed the eyes of the blind man. He's now broken the Sabbath again. With the clay. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. By command, he has now broken the Sabbath again. So in this verse, in these two merging of these verses together, Jesus breaks the Sabbath on three different occasions. Now why would he choose to do it on the Sabbath day and not the day before, the day after? I mean, this man is blind, he's a beggar, and he has a regular spot. You know, by setting the beggars, that they would have a designated spot, a certain place that they would sit or stand. And they would do that over and over and over again. Why would Jesus choose this particular day? He had points to prove. He had things that must be said and things that must be done. And since Jesus wasn't politically correct, he didn't really care if it made him mad or not. Well, Jesus wouldn't go over today on this day at all, would he? You imagine the Lord Jesus been on a television program and really preaching some of this stuff. My goodness. No way. Now what? So he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed and came sin. Now I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but when you read the miracles of John's miracles and the way that he puts it down and the way he wrote it, it's like that for many of them they have a double meaning. They have a meaning in the natural sense, but they also have a meaning in the spiritual sense because John was so anointed by the Spirit of God. Remember, the book of John was written, of course, after he received the Holy Ghost. So he's going back and writing the book of John after the new birth. So he would write it with the illumination of being born again and not just writing it as it was taking place then. So many of the miracles of John, if you'll read them, and I myself, I believe that in this instance, there is a compound meaning in the very way that the Lord Jesus goes about delivering this miracle. Because this is not just speaking about his advent to the earth to heal the sick. But here he is, if you'll notice the very name of this pool. It is the pool of Siloam, which is sin. It also has two other Greek words that were used for it. And both of them refer to the Messiah. So here, if you notice what the Lord Jesus is doing, he's opening the eyes of this man's blinded eyes. He was born blind. And what does he do? He takes the dust, that was clay, and he spits into it from his mouth, and he makes clay, and he rubs it upon the man's eyes, and then he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The very ministry, the very incarnation, the very life of the Lord Jesus is depicted in this miracle. Because he come to the earth as clay to rub on the eyes of the elected, and he sends us, hallelujah, he sends us, well, what does a man do? A man believes and he goes and gets baptized and he comes back. It's all portrayed in the act of this one miracle, hallelujah, by the power of God. But yet, you know, there it was in front of the Pharisees. They never caught anything about it. They hated it. They were so upset because this man had received his sight. Now watch what happened. Man, this guy's absolutely tickled to death. Then in verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that said and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Now watch how that the mindset of the people was in such a state of confusion. That this confusion comes over from the Lord Jesus onto the life of this man that the Lord Jesus had performed a miracle on. So some of his neighbors, now I'm not talking about strangers that come in for this feast, but his neighbors. So some of his neighbors looked at him and said, well, that looks like him. Others said, no, I don't believe that's him. And he said, I'm he. I'm he. Oh my. May the power of God help us whenever folks say, are you the same old man? Are you the same old? No, that can't be you. May God give us the strength to say, I'm he. I am he. I am the one that the miracle took place on. Look at verse 13. Now, boy, this caused really a turmoil. It's already a bad enough shape. But this really adds to the dilemma. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime was blind. And it was... Oh, no. Man. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked how he had received his sight. Now, you know, asking how sometimes is important. How was asked four times after this instance of this miracle. But really, if people would still quit asking how and take those same letters, H-O-W, but let's rearrange them and let's do W-H-O. You understand? That's where a lot of folks leave in the message. That's where they are. How come this? And how come that? And how come this? And how come? I don't want to ask you how come. I want to ask you who? Who but an anointed man of God could do what has been done in this day? But you see how close it is? You can spend all of your time asking how. Or you can say, who but God could do such things as this? Oh, my God. Amen. Now watch. The stress is fixing to build. The people asked first, how were you healed? The neighbors. Then the Pharisees ask, who did this? How did this happen, brother? Then they ask his parents, how did this happen? And then they come and ask him again, how was you made whole? So they were asking the wrong question. Look in verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. This man is not of God. Oh my. Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. It's illegal to work in clay on the Sabbath. You see, they done knew that Jesus prior to this had sent a man that was lame and halt. And Jesus healed him and gave him his ability to walk. And Jesus told him to pick up his bed and go home. They're already building up marks against him. Now here's another one. So it's illegal to work on pottery. It's illegal to work on clay. It's illegal to spit. Now they could spit, but they couldn't spit and make anything with the spit. You could anoint your head on the Sabbath, but you couldn't anoint your eyes on the Sabbath. Now this is not in the law of Moses, it was in the law of the Pharisees. And sad, you see. It's easy to see by listening to them old boys. They were sad, you see. A lot of folks are still sad, you see, today. So Jesus did not break the word, but he broke their interpretation of the word. But you know what? They hadn't been bucked. They had not been stood against like this, and they did not like it at all. Folks ain't changed too much, really, have they? Now what? So he said, this man doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? I'd like to ask you folks on the websites and the YouTubers and all them other boobers and whatever more you are, how can a man that was a sinner do such miracles? Very simple, isn't it? Really, it just repeats itself over and over again. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. The Lord Jesus, the sweet, peace-loving Lamb of God, is now causing division. Come on, Happy Valley, don't you get quiet on me. Now really, the Pharisees and all the rest of them should have been praising God for this man having a miracle. It's one less on welfare. It's one man less sitting there begging by the road. But you know what? Their view was more important than this man being healed. Don't you understand that's exactly where we are today? Understanding the wherefores and the whys and this and the other. That means more to people that are not born again than your life being changed from being a vile, wretched sinner and coming to this truth. Your life being totally transformed. So there was a division, and the Greek word there is schism. Separation into two parties. So here we have Jesus, now he's subdivided again. So they divided, the divided, now they're subdividing again. And notice in St. John 7:43, so there was a division among the people because of him. St. John 10:19, and there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. Now I hope you understand this. The Almighty Wise God allowed there to be a division among the people because the time for the crucifixion and the atonement had not yet arrived. Had there been unity enough among the people on the same principle, they would have foreran the accepting time for the crucifixion and they would have tried to crucify Jesus. Many times we look around and see confusion about this and difference of opinions about that. If you only knew the truth of it sometime, it is buying us time. I said it is buying us time because they could not agree. Now there was still a majority voice that said, this man is of God. I know that man. He's a good man. He's not done anything wrong, anything worthy of death. He's a good man. Others said, no, he can't be a good man. Why, he don't keep the law the way we do. I said, well, who do you think you are anyhow? Who put you over the law? So they just went back and forth, back and forth. Don't you see what God was doing? God was allowing that to be there in order to get the amount of time necessary to complete the work of redemption. Oh, children, can't you see why that the Republicans and the Democrats and the liberals and the communists and all that, they're fussing and fighting and carrying on, and the Baptists are still fighting with the Catholics? Thank God, in a sense, because you realize once they all come together, it's over. It's finished. There may be some more souls in China or Africa somewhere, and God will let them still be at one another's throats until those last ones are brought in. Then they will come together. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he has opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. Glory to God. I like this guy. I tell you what, this guy right here, unnamed as he is one of my favorite all-time characters in the New Testament. I can't wait to see him. You say he'll be there? He'll be there. You know what? He was not intimidated. Did he feel the pressure? No doubt he did. Did he feel the stress of what they, now he was the focal point of attention, his miracle. Now this is the first time this man has ever seen. But he can't even go out and look at the cows. He can't go out and look at the trees. Though mainly what he's seeing is old mad faces and rolled down lips. Can you imagine you've been blind all of your life and this is all you get to see? He said, man, let me out of here. I want to see the trees. I want to see the cows. I want to see my mama. I want to see life. I want to see nature. Hallelujah!
Glory. Oh, my goodness. Did this man just say what I thought he said? The face of this blind man was unfolding itself. Because you realize when he was first asked about him, he said, it was a man named Jesus. But as the pressure come against him, now they ask him, he said, who do you think he is? He said, he's a prophet. Uh-oh. So now his revelation moves from the first pull over to the second. So he moved from just being a man called Jesus, but as the press come against him, his revelation began to unfold further. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. So now, remember, in front of all these guys that can excommunicate, they can put him out of the church. They can say, you'll never have a lamb offered again. Be careful what you say, boy. Be careful, you'll be thrown out of church. Nobody's saying no maters, no taters, nothing else. Be careful what you say. What do you think about him? He is a prophet. What was happening? His face was becoming stronger. The light was dawning in his soul. And what was helping bring it on? Jesus wasn't even there. So it was not Jesus standing there telling him all this. Jesus heals him and then kind of walks away and lets him deal with the pressure. So the pressure pressing against him, Lord have mercy. What was it? The darkness began to dispel. It was the dawning of the day star in this man's life. As the pressure begin to work against you, don't you understand, friend? Look back at your own life. When God brings you through terrible times, watch and see how God will illuminate His Word to you and make it real. I love this. The more the Pharisees approached the truth, stood against it, the more it unveiled itself to this man. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now this is bad on two accounts. Because the Jews by their own writings say that a prophet had the ability to alter the strictness of the Sabbath. Uh-oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So this man saying Jesus was a prophet, he was telling them, according to your law, a prophet of God has the right to alter the strictness of the Sabbath. How would we have identified a prophet? St. John 4:19. The woman at the well, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She didn't have 40 years to follow him. She didn't get on Yahoo and do a Google search or a Yahoo search or whatever more. In a matter of moments, this woman understood that Jesus was a prophet. How? What was she going by? That a prophet had the ability to see visions. A prophet had the ability to tell things that he did not know. And it didn't take this woman 40 years to make up her mind if she's going to follow the message or not. In a matter of seconds, she confessed, you are a prophet. St. John 6:14, then those men which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. So this man's answer then that Jesus, now he said, what is Jesus the man? I'm not sure. I can't remember. Who was it that, I don't recall. better answer. I was careful. That boy would throw you out of church. I don't remember. Let's see. What color was he? Well, he might have been white. No, he wasn't white. Could have been black, but he could have been. Was he about this tall? I don't remember if it's about this wide or that wide. I just don't remember. Look at this man. He said, he's a prophet. You mean you ain't going to stutter when you say that? You mean the stress that you're under is not going to make you say, could I be excused? I claim the fifth. Where's my lawyer? Glory to God. This blind man sees Jesus Christos to be a prophet. They can say he's not of God if they want to. They can accuse him of all kinds of stuff. But he was the one who had the miracle performed on him. You don't want this message? Fine. You're getting tired of serving God, living for God, fine. But don't expect me to go with you. Because I know I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was wretched. I was out there in Laodicea, blind Pentecostal. You don't want this message no more? Suit yourself. But the miracle of my eyes being opened happened to me. And you ain't taking it from me. You or nobody else. Now watch verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Hey guys, y'all need to click on a couple of websites. They'd really like your fellowship. So now what they're going to do is discredit the miracle. Well, really, he wasn't blind in the first place. He's been sitting out there all of his life. Yeah, right. Sitting out there, been made fun of, kicked at, stoned, cursed, spit on, everything else, all of his life. Him and Jesus worked it out. Come on. Isn't it amazing how that people do such things? To me, it's so much easier just to believe the word. It takes more faith to conjure up the mess that people make trying to hide the truth than it does to just simply believe the truth. My, listen to some of these guys, you know, these scientists, 186 million years ago, a little polywog, Wally, pogged up out on the beach, and he started pressing himself, and an eye popped out on one side, and an eye popped out on the other, and he evolved, and I think, my Lord, it's so much easier for me to believe in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh my, then he evolved into this and evolved into that and evolved into something else. He never evolved into nothing. It is the handiwork of my Father. But man cannot accept what God does. So the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Whom ye say was born blind. How then doth he now see? And his parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son. Thank you very much. And that he was born blind. But by what means that he started following this prophet, we don't know. We're afraid he's in a cult or something. You know why they could say this? The miracle didn't happen to them. What I say is, friends, those that are turning and going the other way, apparently the miracle that happened to me and you did not happen to them. Because if it happened to them, Brother Dow, the way it's happened to me, they'd be right here screaming and hollering this morning like we are.
Brother, I'll tell you one thing. They could stand up and say, this is our boy. And yeah, he was born blind. But as far as how, I'll tell you, I just don't understand it myself. I mean, it's really confusing death. But you know what? That old boy could stand up and say, it happened to me. The miracle happened on me. I know what I was. And I know what I am right now. And as soon as y'all done with me, I'm fixing to take off running out through there and look at the trees and look at the sky. I'm tired of seeing your old sour looks on your face. Hallelujah! Can we close this inquisition? I want to go out and see the water and see the trees and the grass.
By what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. Well, thank you, dear old mom and dad. Now, friends, they are under such stress. Now, no doubt these people are aged. All they've known is come to the temple and offer a lamb, sacrifice, spoke to the priest. Maybe knew or read the rabbinical laws. And my, they're just good people, maybe. And this will change everything. If they confess Jesus, it'll change everything. It sure will. So they just figured out a way to answer without committing themselves to anything. We know this is our boy. We saw him reading them books and listening to them tapes. And we told him, you better watch, because they drink Kool-Aid. I mean, that preacher drinks that red looking stuff. They say it's Gatorade, but I guarantee it's Kool-Aid. They're going to poison somebody. They're going to eventually kill you all. I hope so. Dying to our old nature, that is. We know this is our boy. And there's no doubt about it that he was born blind in Laodicea. And he was a Pentecostal and he's a Baptist or whatever. We know all of that. But as far as how in the world he come to accept and Elijah Malachi for a message, I don't understand it myself. But I'll tell you what, he's a big boy. Ask him. Now verse 22 conveys to us the reason why they said this. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, they had no problem confessing he was Jesus. But if they confess he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Yes. Amen. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already. They already passed the laws, didn't they? And if any man did confess him was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Shemasa. Cut off. No more prayers offered. No more sacrifice. No buying food in the market. Cut off! This makes me admire this man even more. And such terror struck their hearts. They love their son, no doubt. But what are we going to do, honey? They'll cut us off from church. We can't offer a lamb for our sins. Nobody will sell us nothing to eat. What are we going to do? Let's just try to avoid answering it, okay? We'll agree on this. We'll just say we don't know. We'll say he's our son, but we just don't know. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. Now this means quite a different thing than maybe what you've thought over the years. This is actually an oath. Joshua made Achan take this in the book of Joshua. And it was them swearing as we'd be brought before a trial or something. Do you swear to tell the truth? Nothing but the truth. So help you God. I do.
So whenever they would say give praise to God in this manner, they're putting him on trial.
Glory. What a trial. On the sake of Jesus, the Word. God help me if I ever come to it. Do you swear you will tell the truth? Give praise to God. So this is what they're saying. So they called the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. We know. Oh. We know. Wow. They were their absolute, wasn't they? Now they had their opinions of the Sabbaths and they judged Jesus accordingly. According to that, he was a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. Why isn't this man crumpling under the stress? Why isn't this man just bowing down and assimilating? He's ordained to life. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Can we say the same thing? Whereas we were blind, Brother Branham made mistakes. Sure he did. He was a human. Oh, can you explain the crime? No. Can you explain? No. Well, what do you know? One thing I do know, I was blind. But now I see. Hallelujah. I was out there in Pentecost running without a message and trying to do everything I could, but I was still blind, wasn't it, Brother Chuck? But something come across our path. Hallelujah. I have never regretted coming into it. Let me stand like this man did in the middle of stress, in the middle of pressure, in the middle of trouble. May I refuse to assimilate with the popular opinion. May I assimilate with the Lord Jesus and His Word. In reality, instead of investigating the facts of the miracle, they should have been investigating the incident and the identity of the person who performed it. Notice what the folks say. How did he do this? How did this happen? And how did that happen? It's not so much the person of the Lord Jesus. The devil hates him, don't he? Then said they to him again, what did he do? Notice the direction they're going. The events, not the person. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I imagine by this time, this man is getting pretty aggravated. Them trees and them cows and them rivers and all that stuff is calling him, and all he sees is people with their old mouths stuck out and lips all pooched out. I'll tell you what, they're madder than horny. I'm getting just about tired of this stuff. Amen. I want to live out my miracle, and living out my miracle in front of a bunch of mad faces like you. I'm ready to head out of here. Hallelujah! He did not bow. There was no one that stood with him. No. Not yet, anyway. Let's stand. Those infamous words, to be continued. The stress of not assimilating. This man don't act too stressed out to me, though, does he? He acts like to a degree. He's kind of enjoying this. So he comes on down the next verse and he says, I done told y'all several times. You didn't believe then. Will you believe now?
He said, are you all wanting to be his disciples? Y'all want to come back in the message?
Oh my. Thank God. Thank God. It's amazing Jesus totally disappears out of the scene while this stress is building. They go on. The next verse, we'll pick it up again, Lord willing, next week. But finally, they take this man and they throw him out. They excommunicate him. And then when he's thrown out, then Jesus finds him. Isn't it amazing that Jesus isn't standing there by him and thrown out with him? But Jesus allows him to be thrown out, ridiculed, made fun of, laughed at, all that. And then whenever Jesus knows that he's thrown out, then Jesus comes around and said, hey, you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord? I am he that speaketh to thee. So his revelation progressed from Jesus, the man, to the prophet, to the Son of God. I believe, Lord. Look what he got for refusing to assimilate with some Pharisees. And what would he have got if he would have accepted them? Nothing but hell. Would they have made him a great person? He's a beggar. He ain't no theologian. What would they have done? He'd been nothing but a pawn to them. He'd have been nothing but another number on the pew. But by standing for the Lord Jesus and taking his place for him, he had a personal identification. One of the very few in the Bible that ever heard it from the lips of Jesus himself. I am he. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for these examples written in the Scriptures. I pray, dear God, that you would help each man, woman, boy, and girl. That as we refuse to assimilate in the world that we live, no doubt the pressure will intensify till it will lead right up to the threshold of the rapture. The mechanics of the Antichrist movement, no doubt, is going on behind the scene while the bride is still being prepared. Satan will only have 3.5 years. So the things must be really ready and close. Lord Jesus, I pray we would not bow to the pressure. We would not crumble to the stress of refusing to assimilate. Lord God, give us strength. Help our young people. Help our brothers, our sisters, with godliness and purity, not with mean attitudes or hatefulness, but we will stand our ground and refuse to assimilate into a tribulation-bound world. So if I assimilate and compromise, what will I receive? What can the world give me? What can Satan offer me? He has no heaven. He has no mansions. He has no theophany for those who follow him. So if I assimilate into the denominations, what could they offer me? Another church? A position of some sort? And then I miss the rapture. Lord Jesus, let me be like this man. Though my mama turned, my daddy, my family, my friends, though they stand and look at me, I don't know what's happened to him. Poor guy's lost his mind. We may have to have him committed. Oh, but Jesus, as long as you're with me, Lord. We notice in the life of this man that you didn't go through and eliminate the stress, but you allowed him to be thrown out. Well, once he was thrown out right into your arms. Oh, Jesus. Give us strength, Lord. Help us not to bow to the stress. Help us not to bend to the pressure of the day.
But may we stand like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. May we stand like Daniel. Oh, hallelujah. May we stand like John the Baptist. Like this unnamed character of John 9. As Brother Branham says about this man, he had some pretty good theology himself. He said, well, herein is a marvelous thing. You don't know if this man's of God or not. And he said, here was a man that was born blind. And he said, it's never happened since the foundation of the world that a man that was born blind received his sight. And yet you don't know where he come from. Hallelujah. He did not have an education. He had a revelation. It's apparent by the steps as it unfolded in his life. He went from calling you Jesus the man to the prophet to the Son of God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this is where we want to be. Our revelation to expand and grow and grow and grow. Though the pressure comes, I've noticed it myself, Lord. Every time I've been under such great strain. Lord, these things we've dealt with this year. The strain and things that's come upon us. Some of the things we dealt with a few years ago. Lord, I felt like I was losing my mind. Yet, Lord, when I stood for what I felt like I needed to stand for. Lord God, you opened up your word. You opened up revelation to my very heart. It tends to follow. It tends to follow being able to stand the test and the pressure. Revelation follows the stress. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. It's like another installment of fulfillment. That if we stand for you and we're faithful, once we come through the trial, then you'll appear on the outside. You'll appear on the other side of the stress. You'll appear on the other side of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and make yourself known in a little greater way. I was born blind. I never saw in my life. Could hear my mother describing things in my life. I said, Mama, what's a tree? Mama, what's a bird? Mama, what color is grass? From her sweet voice I heard, the grass is so green, the trees are so strong, the branches project out, and many of them are long. Then one day I was setting my very usual place. I heard a voice come speaking to me. I knew I was going to be different that day. I heard that voice say, bring him to me. I was in amazement and wondered. I heard the man, as it were, spit. I thought, what is he doing? Then I felt this burning in my eyes. As he took the clay, the coarse grains of sand, and he rubbed. Little did I know, he was the same one that made Adam long ago. Glory! I rubbed my eyes as they burned. I longed to know, to see. Oh, I wanted how I yearned. And then I heard a voice from eternity that said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He didn't send a disciple, but I had to find my way on my own. I'd been there before, so many times before. But as I went, my eyes so burned, I did not know what I was fixing to learn. I came up to the water. I heard it gently trickling down. I found myself over next to the edge. And then I kneeled there. I cut my hands in the water. I splashed them on my face. Then I began to rub my eyes and wash my blindness away. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah to God! Hallelujah! Oh, I can still remember as I rubbed my eyes that day. Begin to open up, and my blindness had gone away. I looked and I stared. I looked all around that day. It was men and women and children. And for the first time I watched children play. Then all of a sudden they came and got me. And they brought me before Sanhedrin. And they said, "We want to know, how did this man make your blindness go?" He said, "I don't know, I don't know. But all I know is I was blind, but now I see. Little did I know that my visit to church that day, oh, it was going to change my life and inscribe my incident in the Word of God to stay. I stood against the pressure. Oh, I stood against the strain. As the character of Jesus, it was made real to me so plain. My mama wouldn't stand with me, nor my father be so true. Everybody pooched out their lips at me, and they said, 'Get away from us, you're not around us.' But I stood for him that day. Oh, he rolled my burden away. I stood for him that hour, and he saved me by his power." Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember when I heard about a prophet in Malachi 4. Heard some folks talking about him, how he lived down here before. About a message that God had sent to this man that would turn our hearts to him. About serpent seed and why we're not a denomination and oneness with God is back with him. And left me confused and wondering why I'd never heard about this man. Since he was only born about 30 miles from where I was raised as a little lad. Oh, but one day while I was sitting with my Bible in my hands, and I was studying, trying to prove that William Branham surely couldn't be this man, all of a sudden my eyes came over. Oh, hallelujah! I began to see that this man was a man sent from God to lead us back to eternity. Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over 30 years have passed since I accepted this revealed word. Every day my life is getting sweeter because a predestinated seed is getting stirred. I don't regret leaving Pentecost and leaving dried up church behind. Now I'm feeding at the table of my husband, and he's divine. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. Hallelujah. ask me, what do you say of this man? I'll tell you with all my heart and my soul, he's a prophet of God, and that I say. This message brought me liberty and peace like I never known. Revelation of the Word of God, predestinated seed that was sown. It revealed Christ, the mystery, and the Son of Man in this day. It drove away my traditions, and it's going to change my body one day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Was sin in this hour? Are you still holding on to what you said years ago? Or are you going to turn back and go back? I say no, 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 no. I say no, 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 no again. I say no. Are you going in the rapture? Oh, yes, I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will stand for Christ Jesus. Let me stand under the stress. Let me stand under the pressure. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes there ain't no songs written that need to fit a certain sermon, so he just writes another one. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Oh, been washed in the blood. Show.
was so heavy in sin, I sang low. And I heard about Jesus and His wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out that He could bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free, I'm free, I'm free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, so saved by His wonderful grace.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad,
oh, yes,
I found out that He could bring me out, show me the way.
See you Wednesday night, Lord willing. I thank God
I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Save, save. I'm so glad that I found out that He could bring me out, show me the way. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. God we serve.